celebrate together, to learn, but our mission field is not in here. This is our love field. This is where we love on one another. We encourage one another. But our mission field is when we leave this facility. And I shared, and Pastor Mike has shared, to be a convert means you've made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. And if you made Jesus Christ your Lord, your home is in heaven. Amen?
Amen.
But there's that next phase that many Christians are so blessed with their life, they want others to experience. And so they yield to be discipled. And I believe most of you, that if you come to Shield of Faith, you come not just to get converted, but you come because you see yourself as a disciple. Now, as you look at me this morning, some of you have been here just a few months, some of you a few years, some of you go back almost to the inception, which is almost 28 years now. Almost from the start, we've been declaring, if you're born again, if Jesus Christ is your Lord, then you're a full-time what?
Minister.
We've also declared that when you get saved, you get the Holy Ghost, and you don't get a baby Holy Ghost. You get the same Holy Ghost anybody else gets. Amen? But if we know that and we believe that, there's something that we've heard in society called insanity. Insanity definition would be doing the same thing over and over and over again and expecting different results. We'd call that being insane if we're not changing ourselves. But if we are willing to learn what it means to be a disciple, because we want to be a disciple, and then not only be discipled, but be a blessing to disciple others, then we move out of that insanity and we become a child willing to submit themselves to grow and to be stronger, not just for you, but for others. Everybody say others.
Others.
So we learn. This week, as we come together as a body of Christ throughout this whole valley at Victorious Believers, believers will be coming together to pray for this city, not just for your life, but for the whole community. And we see jobs are prevailing and things are happening and we get answers to prayer. But the key is we don't stop. And as a disciple, we don't want to do the same thing over and over again if we're not getting the results that we should get. And so I want to talk to you about getting to that place. And my message is called Disciples Arise. In other words, it's time for us to take on and literally put some action to what you've been learning here for months or years, that you're a minister. You don't need an ordination papers. You don't need Pastor Weldon's stamp of approval. All you need is to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, and you are all set. Now, sure, we learn and we grow, but it's day-to-day growing in the things of God, because who's the only one that frees us?
Jesus.
Jesus. And when he frees us, we're free indeed. So I want to talk about, you know, activating the church so that the church, especially Shield of Faith, become more proactive if you've chosen to be a disciple. Now, if you are a parent and you are looking to train your children up, which I'm sure most everybody in here does, that's phase number one. You become a discipler because you want your children to be trained up. But we also want our community and our neighborhood and our workplaces. And so I want to share a scripture. If you got your Bibles, I know you got that sheet that we pass out, but I'm going to start in John this morning. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were laid out by the Holy Ghost to show us what Jesus said and what he did, and also what Jesus said we should say and what we should do. He took us from the old covenant that we couldn't fulfill. He showed us those 33 years, actually 3 years especially. He declared what would happen when he left so that the church would be alive and ready to arise and make a difference.
Amen.
And it wasn't going to be about just him, because he was going to equip us with the Holy Ghost. Amen? And that's why he can say something like this that we put to memory, but do we believe it? In John 14, red letter version, if you've got that. Most Verse 12 says, Jesus, most assuredly I'm saying to you, believers, the works that I'm doing and you're seeing, you are going to do, and even greater than these, because I'm about to go home to be with my Father. And whatever you ask in the name of Jesus or in my name, I am going to grant it. Verse 14, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, he doesn't stop there. He goes on and pick it up at verse 16. And I'm going to tell my Father, pray to him, and he's going to give you a helper. He's with you now, but he's going to get in you. And this helper called the Holy Ghost, who's with you, is going to get in you. And because he's in you, you're going to be able to do everything I did and even more so. Yeah. Now, you got to be a minister to do that. Converts, you're fine. You're going to heaven. But you that want to be disciples and you don't want to just come to church and just get saved, but you really want to make a difference in other people's lives, you're at the right place this morning. Because it's not just about you. It becomes now wanting to be a blessing to others. Amen? What I have found is that most believers, if they've been raised in the church, are never told that they're ministers. They're told they need to do good so they can get good, or they're told to do these 35 things, and if they do it right, they'll have a good life. But they never see themselves as a minister. They see themselves, hopefully, as good people. But if you don't see yourself as a minister, you're not going to minister. And if you always think in America, this is what's happened. We think church, and it becomes all about the pyramid concept. If I only do better, I'll be a deacon. And then if I really am, they see that I'm a really faithful, I can be an elder. And then maybe I can be in the five full ministry gifts where I really get anointed. That is religion. Jesus says, if you believe me, I will give you the anointing that will never leave you nor forsake you. And it's not a childlike anointing, it's the Holy Ghost. And that's why Jesus can tell us the things he did, we can do.
Thank you, Lord.
So we're going to get more activated this morning and make a difference in your family, in your workplace, and those around you. He will never leave you. Say, the Holy Ghost will never leave me. Never leave me. Never leave me. Now, Jesus said this. Now, listen. He said the things he would do, we would do. You know a scripture we see a lot of times at football games, baseball games, in the crowd, John what? 3:16. Is that, do you believe that's the heartbeat of God?
Yeah.
So if it's heartbeat of God and he says that the things he did we should do, shouldn't we be able to do what he's declaring in John 3:16?
Yeah. Yeah.
If God so loved the world that he gave his son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish, he said we're supposed to love the world. Now listen, the world here is people. We're not talking about love the system. Love the world. See, this is the point we get to in Christendom. Well, I love my biological family and I love a few people. That's not what Jesus said. He says we'll do what he did. He loved the world. And if he loved the world, we're supposed to fall in love with the world, and the world is you guys and a whole bunch of other people, and some of them you may not get along that good with. It's not nothing to do with whether you like somebody or they activate or whatever out there. It's got to do with, do you really want to be a disciple? And if you want to be a disciple and be effective, then you got to fall in love with people. Because God showed us the way. Everything Jesus did was to show us how to love people. Let me tell you what he didn't show us. He didn't show us how to jump through hoops and then you can be a high hierarchy in the church. He showed you how the basic elements of loving people is you want people not to be in pain and suffering. So you want to alleviate that. So he gives us the Holy Ghost so we can do the very things he did. And the things in Acts 10:38 says, Jesus went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Anybody want to help some people get free from the devil? Then we can do that. Because he said, we got the same Holy Ghost. When you study the history of the church, let me just give you a brief. After the apostolic age of the first, some guess, 200-300 years, church was formed in buildings. in Rome. And they made this relationship with Jesus into a religion. They put all these man-made traditions in there, and the Bible says the traditions make the word of God of what? So Greece gets a handle, and it starts, this movement of God moves into Greece. They make it a philosophy. So we get the philosophers. Oh, and it becomes a head thing. Next thing you know, it's filtering because God will not be stopped. It gets into Europe, and Europe looks at it, and they make it a culture. So we'll make buildings and stuff around this religious experience. And then America gets hit, and it gets over to us, and we make it a big business. And a business is not what the church is supposed to be. It's supposed to be in love with a body. It's supposed to be in love with people. So if we're going to get out of our boxes and we're going to truly be disciples, then we got to activate what we already have inside us, and that's the power of God. That's why in America, God bless America, it was founded on our Judeo-Christian principles. But we've gotten away from it, and it's been a big business. We got to run it like a business, man. We got to do this and have this and that. And we find people running to and fro, and we end up having more and more meetings, and we try to draw people more and more inside the four walls of a church building while the world is suffering and going to hell, and the devil's laughing because we're all in here being religious. Amen. I'm not saying us, but you understand what I'm saying. Yes. Yes. So why do you think the enemy does not want the message that you're a minister and that you got this same Holy Ghost? He does not want you to believe that because he doesn't want you to act on it. Because if you act on it, things happen. That's why Jesus prefaced it in the Gospels. He kept telling us to go, go, go. But before we go, we had to wait. Remember Acts 1? In fact, let's go to Acts 1. Says this in verse 4. I read it a couple weeks ago. I'm going to read it again. And 120 are assembled together. And he's commanding them. He's not saying, oh, please. He's commanding them not to go depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. Here's the promise, church, because that's us. John baptized with water, but you are going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Prophesied from the other Gospels, it said John baptized with water, but he who's greater than I can't even unlatch his sandal. He's going to baptize you in the Holy Ghost and fire. See, in order to be a discipler, we've got to have the fire and we got to have the power. We got the Holy Ghost when we get saved. But it's not just having the Holy Ghost in us. If we get baptized in the Holy Ghost, out of our belly flows rivers and we touch others. The mandate to the church today is to become the church, and it's not getting in people's faces and making them feel like they don't know anything. It's God so loved the world. The church so loved the world that it gave of itself to make a difference to where they live, where they work, and where they play. That's us. A couple weeks ago, I said that the world would much rather see a Christian than hear one any day. Because you are under a microscope. People are watching us. And that's important to realize that, because if you really want to be a disciple, how you carry yourself carries weight. If you don't care, if it's all right, hey, I'm in, I'm fine. That's why people said, well, you know that grace message. They just want you to be saved, and then you just look for ways to sin. No, that grace is a free gift that prepares me and gives me everything I need that pertains to life and godliness to want to serve and be a blessing to others. I'm not looking for ways to mess up people. I'm looking for ways to free people, and not because I'm a pastor, because I'm a believer. And Jesus Christ is my Lord, just like he is yours. Amen. Why can't we just realize, folks, young and old, big and small, black and white, it does not matter what your outside package, because inside is God himself. Yeah. It's the kingdom of heaven that's come, and you can do all things through Christ that has strengthened you. Amen. Thank you, Lord. So, we need to be not only lovers of him, but lovers of others. All through Jesus' Gospels, he kept trying to show them, if I'm in prison, you visit me. If I'm sick, you come to me. If I'm hungry, you feed me. And they're saying, what? Why are we doing this? When you do it unto any of these, the least.
Right.
He didn't even say they had to be believers.
Right.
You're doing it unto any of these, the least of my creations. You're doing it unto me. How do we show Jesus that we love him? By being a blessing and looking for avenues to bless others. Because we're ministers.
Yes, sir.
And we're equipped because we have the Holy Ghost. Coming this morning, I was super touched by an author, Josh Wilson. And he's, singer, but he probably authored it too. And the song he was singing was Dream Small. And immediately, if you were raised in my dream small, no, we got to dream big, man. With God, if we can still do it, we don't need God. You know what? We've been running that out to the body of Christ for so long, they're overwhelmed. They can't. That's overwhelming.
Yep.
Dream small means it only takes a little step here and there to make another little step. I think David used a little pebble, little small stone to take down a giant. And we're focused on big. No, I need you to dream small. See yourselves being a blessing to others.
Yes.
See, if you can get a vision of it, you can see yourself blessing your children's playmates, blessing your neighborhood, blessing where you work. Think small. Little bit is going to touch others. Why is there such a movement out there to pay it forward? Pay it forward is a blessing of little substance that blesses somebody else, that opens up the door for another blessing. And the next thing you know, one thing compounds another, and all of a sudden we see some things happening.
Good.
Dream small. Come on, root me on there, Pastor Kathy. So, I'm going to jump out of Acts just for a second here. In James, lover to the body, said this, be ye a doer of the word. This was not to pastors, although they're included. This was not to evangelists. This was not to apostles. This was to believers. Be ye doers of the word and not just hearers. Because if you're only a hearer, you are going to deceive yourself. Not others, but yourself. So why isn't the church activated and being a doer? Because we've been thinking it's got to be a big dream. I got to be powerful. I got to know all the scriptures. I got to be able to pray big. And that's opposite of how Jesus taught us. Don't look to be big prayers and so forth. Just avail yourself to bless people. So, be doers of the word. I got a vision this. Pastor Mike says he heard this too, so maybe I heard it somewhere. But it had to do with, most of you in here know about credit cards, whether you think that's good or bad. But when you get a credit card, they give you so much of a line of credit, right? Now, we are like credit cards with God. And everything, we don't have a limit of 2,000, 1,000, 10,000. We got everything that pertains to life and godliness. So see yourself as a credit card. Did you know that until you activate that card, you do not get the benefits of that card? You can go put it in all you want, but you're not going to get anything out of that until you activate it. Until we become doers of the word and not just hearers, we can continuously hear, you're a credit card, you're a credit card, you got all things that pertain to life and godliness. But if we don't change and activate yourself, you're not going to get the fruit that God wants you to get.
Amen.
And it's not because he loves you more or less. He loves you, period. Settle it. This isn't a level of he's going to love us more. Every person that's sitting in a work that's not challenging their people to be more than just coming to church does not make them bad. Nor does it make those that are teaching. Most people are at where they've got revelation and they don't go any further than that. I'm telling you, you've got no excuse to go all the way.
Yes.
And to work out that tradition that has you thinking it's all about, if I only get them to a spiritual person, are you born again? If you say, yeah, you're spiritual. You got God himself inside you, and you got everything. It says, but I may not know enough. It's not what you know, it's what he knows, and he knows that he gave you everything. And when you step out, I'm just trying to give you a little encouragement kick. Come on now. People tell me, go on missionary trips, Pastor, you're always stretching us. We should be stretched out of our comfort zones, or we'll stay in the same place doing the same things and wondering why we get the same results.
Come on.
I think it's breakout time. Amen? You're in Acts with me. Acts says this, you will receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you, verse 8. And you shall be a witness to me in Jerusalem and to Judea and Samaria. When we ask Jesus to baptize us in the Holy Ghost, you become a witness. Now listen, everybody, look at me. It says in three locations. Those locations are where you live, where you work, and where you play. And it may take you to some country, but we're not thinking big. We're thinking small. We're thinking about you've got to see that your Jerusalem, your Samaria, your Judea is right where you're at. Right where you're planted. So when you get the Holy Ghost, you become a witness. Now look at me because I'm going to give you some practical application. A witness does not mean you look for people. Let me tell you, John 3:16. Let me pray for you. Oh God, send heaven. No! What are you as a witness? You are a loving, caring person that's looking for a bridge to tell somebody, hey, bless you today. Hope you're having a good day today. That is what it means to preach in the today. Preach, you don't have to, if I could only get behind a pulpit, I can do it. No, your pulpit is your life journey. In your car, in your workplace, in your home, you should be the best witness possible. Your kids should see a holy man and woman of God. Your parents should have saw a change, not because you're telling them, I go to church every Sunday. Going to church don't make you a Christian any more than swimming in a lake makes you a fish. So we've got to activate what we already have. And we got to break the religiosity off us that has us always waiting for somebody to do it for us. You're just trying to negate your responsibility, Pastor. No, that's not mine. It's believers. My responsibility is to oversee and encourage you and kick you in the rear and say, come on, you can do it. You got the same God in you as I got. Yes. Yes, you do. So where do we begin? We begin in our homes. We begin in our neighborhoods. Acts chapter 2. We see in Acts 1, the wait. They waited. Here's Acts chapter 2, 1 through 4. This is the happening. This is what happened 2,000 years ago. The day of Pentecost had come, all in one accord in one place. Suddenly, there came a sound from heaven, a rushing mighty wind. The whole house was shaken. There appeared to them tongues of fire set on each of them. And they were all, everybody say all. All filled with the Holy Spirit, and they all spoke in tongues. The enemy don't want you speaking in tongues because, that's scary. Bible says those that speak in tongues don't speak to man, they speak to God, for you're speaking mysteries unto him. That's a perfect word of God. So why does the enemy? Because he's trying to get you to live in your head. You can't figure God out. Explain your salvation. Explain the grace of God that went to the cross. I'm just telling you, most people that have been baptized in the Holy Ghost that don't speak in tongues is only because they're fearful of that, and they never knew they got a role in that, and they still can be filled with the Holy Ghost if they never speak in tongues. The tongues part is only something that keeps the motor going, but the Bible says that we must be baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire so that we can be a witness. A witness means we are not afraid to go anywhere and have the glow of the Lord on our face and be able to say something nice to people as we cross their paths and be a bridge to Jesus. I thank God that I wasn't religionized when I got baptized in the Holy Ghost as a school teacher, high school teacher. Fran and Julie, a couple of my students, others, kids come and pray, and we prayed for our teams, healings, miracles. Not as a pastor, but as a believer. Never had somebody get in my face and say, well, you need to sit them down and preach to them and really get them to understand Jesus. No. You loved on people, you saw issues, you saw concerns, and you laid hands on, you prayed for them, and Jesus healed them. And if he didn't heal them, it wasn't me anyway, it was him. I don't choose who gets healed, who doesn't. I know by his stripes we're all healed, but I know that there's a manifestation that comes. But if we never act upon what we already know, Mark 16 says this, for you believers that get baptized in the Holy Ghost, he says, these signs are going to follow you. Acts chapter 16, it says you're going to cast out devils. You're going to speak in new languages. It says you're going to have the enemy, it says serpents and that are going to come against you, and they're going to be overtaken. And it says that you're going to lay hands on sick people, and the Lord's going to heal them. And then it goes on, the very last verse in that, and says, and as they went out, it wasn't the pastors, evangelists, prophets, it was believers, as they went out doing, acting on what they already had inside, God confirmed it with signs and wonders. We want signs and wonders to break out in the church, then we got to activate the church and look to start laying hands on somebody.
Amen.
But let me tell you, so you're not thinking too big. If you think you've got to have all your scriptures known, if you think you've got to know all the right words to share, you'll never activate. Let me give you another illustration. Most of you understand the concept of a washer. This one came to me yesterday in the morning. I can put all those stinky, dirty clothes in the washer. I can put all the washing of the water. I can put all the word, all the water in that tank. I can put the detergent, the soap in there. And I can stand over it. It's a soap representing more scripture. And I can say, oh man, this is going to clean these clothes. Until you activate the washing machine, all you got is a mess. You got a tank of water and dirty clothes and soap. Nothing good about that until you activate the washer and it goes to work and it churns and it scrubs them up. That's activating yourself. That's stepping out and being a doer of the word and not a hearer. Because the end product is the spin cycle comes, the clothes come out clean. Our role is to get people clean. The Holy Ghost is the one that's doing the hard stuff. All we're doing is availing ourselves. Activating what we already know. I thank God, my wife and I thank God we weren't religionized. As she worked in Dow in her early years of Pentecost. I thank God at 24 and 25, somebody wasn't telling me. They all tried to get us in the church. Oh, you got to come. Oh, you'll be a connection. We need to work you with the youth. No, no. All I want to do is love God and love on others. Her in the shop, she didn't know. She just started continuing loving on people. Next thing you know, they want to make a Bible study. Next thing you know, Dow Medical Plan has a Bible study. She's touching Catholics and Methodists and Lutherans. It's not a denominational thing. It's a God thing because everybody needs to be appreciated and everybody needs something.
Amen.
And what they really need is love. There isn't anybody in this room that doesn't need love. We all need love. And the Bible says we're supposed to be known by the love that we have one for another, but also we should be known by the love we're giving to those that we don't necessarily always get along with. I think of some of the teachers when I got prideful and make a fit and go down and get my medicine kit, say, football season's over, give me that. You know, wrestling season's here now. And we get in a power struggle. And I'd go back in my tight, at the time we didn't call it keyboarding, it was typing. Go back in there in my accounting room and then I feel like a jerk. And thank God that the Lord convicted me to go back and say I was sorry. I'm not preaching at anybody. I know that they were talking, boy, there he's really, you're going to get a name of being religious just because you don't want to cuss and swear and drink and smoke and go to their parties. But I wasn't telling them it was bad if they did those things. It just comes with the turf. When you want to be an example and you want to be a blessing to those around you, you choose not to do things that are not going to be a good example because you don't want to just be for yourself. You want to be an example to the others. Amen. Why don't you, Mr. Towns, how come you don't drink and so forth? Are you an alcoholic? I says, because I get high on my Lord and Savior Jesus and I don't need the counterfeit. I was there one time and used to do that so I could loosen up so I could meet girls and not be nervous. I don't need that anymore. I got the mighty woman of God. And I got the Holy Ghost. And that's all the loosening up I need. It's supposed to be fun.
Yes, sir.
Serving the Lord. You know what makes it fun? Let me just give you some practical. This is just some practical things. Why people get overwhelmed with this, being a doer of the word, is because they think they've got to go get in people's faces. I've never been that way. That's not how I operate. Last week, we were in the restaurant in Birch Run. New place that just took over. It used to be a Big Boy there. Now it's, I forget what it's called. But we're sitting there. See, I saw a senior black gentleman come in with a younger black lady. Didn't know them from. And I intentionally give people eye contact and look to see if I get it back. If I get it back, I'll say, hi, how you doing? That's all I got. Hi, how you doing? Bridge set. Later on, looked over and just kind of smiled a few times at this, what I thought was like a couple. My wife gets up to go to the bathroom. I just come over and say, wow, beautiful day. Isn't it? Oh, it is. Wow. I just want to bless you. Just bless your day. And this guy, oh my gosh, who are you? And then it happened to be his daughter. Oh, yeah. Oh, would you sit down with us while you wait? So I sit down. Just had a delightful conversation. Next thing I know, he's a pastor in Flint. He's a street pastor. And I get back, he's contacted, please keep me in prayer, keep me lifted up. So I didn't lead him to Christ. I didn't pray for him other than to bless him. All I was who I am. You build a bridge. You look for an opportunity to be a blessing. Yesterday, my wife asked me after I got my message together, she said, would I go to St. Charles with her? She had to deliver some packages. Now, when this would be dressed up for me when I'm out. I'm sorry if I disappoint anybody that wants me to represent looking. Hey, I'm just enjoying myself, okay? My wife is in there doing these packages, and this woman comes out, happens to see my two dogs. We're giving them a ride, and I could see she was grieving. And I just struck up, well, how are you? How you doing? I lost my 14-year-old black lab. Oh, sorry. Oh, can I get a German Shepherd? And I said, yeah. We talked, just opened up the door. I just want to bless you. So I just pray that peace and that God will fill that void. And I was, thank you. Now listen, I didn't give her a card to come to Shield of Faith. I didn't tell her, well, I'm a pastor, so I'm supposed to do this. No, I'm a believer. I'm a believer. This morning, and I hope you too are coming in. I get stopped. And I was going to pull around this way. My wife says, you can't pull that way out because I wanted my window down. I wanted to converse with these. I'm looking like this. I'm not looking like a pastor. I'm just looking like somebody that's trying to drive through. And they stopped us. I said, honey, roll your window down. I says, guys, I want you to know, I pray that you are blessed today. I pray that this day you're covered with protection. They looked at me and they said, thank you. Thank you very much. You know what that is? That's a minister. That's a minister looking to bless somebody. That's taking the church out of the building. It wasn't like, oh, I'm going to be able to get them to church, so we'll have a higher number. That's big business. That's what it's not all about. It's about looking for an avenue. You can make eye contact even if you're shy and nod ahead and smile and look friendly, and it might open the door. My sister had a classmate that was suffering. I didn't know this, but I was in Dowagiac, where I'm from, and she had got diagnosed with cancer. She's a Catholic friend of my sister. That's only important because she already was a churchgoer. And I got a call because they knew I wasn't a pastor. I was just down there because they know I love God. They asked if I would meet with this. She worked at a pharmacy there. I pulled her aside. I says, honey, what's going on? She says, I've got this feminine cancer, and they're not giving me much long-term hope. I says, okay, all right. Do you know Jesus? Yep. Can I pray with you? Oh, would you? So we slipped to the side. It's not a long, lengthy. Healer, Jesus. Jesus' name. That's all I did. I gave her a hug and God bless you and going to believe with you. Left. I got a letter a couple weeks later. And in this letter, she went on to tell me that she got into the doctor's office. And the doctors came out and says, we don't know what has happened. There is no cancer, nothing in your body. She said, I stood up and I screamed and thanked the Lord for my healing. I wasn't a pastor. I just saw a need and I wanted to implement. How many times, parents, do you have a child that's sick or you have a child that's dealing with something and we want to run to the medicine cabinet instead of running and just putting a hand in Jesus' name, be whole? I'm not saying you do that, but can you see it starts by the application, or your husband or your wife is dealing with something. My wife and I all the time lay hands on each other and pray. Amen. Pray health. But see, then we look for opportunities to take it outside the very building we live in. And we look for a bridge. I knew Barb as our what was your role there in Brandt? For years. We'd just be friendly, be loving. She'd never even, probably even know much other than, who knows what she knew. What kind of reputation. I know we have one out there. But she said her husband allowed her to come because they went to two funerals that I did. Funerals. I mean, if that's the most encouraging you can get is coming to a funeral. Can you see what we got on us? I go with my wife's Polish Catholic family. Huge. They're outside. I'm not a pastor. And they ask me if I will pray. So I have everybody grab each other's hands, and I just pray that people be healed and touched. And I stopped. All these older aunts, and oh, my God, and they're crying. Oh, we never felt so close to God. Oh, my gosh, that was so beautiful. And I'm thinking to myself, all we did was just pray a prayer of common language. I'm telling you, there's a world out there that's waiting for what we got. Yes, sir. And until we activate what we already have, people don't get the benefits. Come on. And so I'm here to encourage you as we close this morning. I'm going to give you a homework assignment. I'm only giving it to you that see yourself as a disciple, okay? Because if you're a disciple, you're going to be looking to disciple. All right. If you want an A on this homework assignment, you are going to, and we're going to have you report back. This is a test for the next 60 seconds. I'm going to ask you to look for somebody in your immediate family, household, for an opportunity to ask to pray with them. That may sound real simple, but I'm telling you, that's not for some people. To pray with their family could be a major step. That will get you 1A. If you want to get 2A's for next week, you will look for an opportunity from some place you play or you work. You will look for needs, and you will bless them with an opportunity. And your prayer may not just be to get them healed. You can say, be healed in Jesus' name. It might be just pray a blessing upon that. That'll get you 2 A's. If you reach out of your family comfort and bless somebody that you work or play with. Now, here's the 3 A's. This is the wow. You look for somebody that you don't know. And you look for an opportunity, like I said, eye contact, say hi to them or whatever, looking for a need. Not to make them do anything, not to let them know that you know a lot of Scripture, but just to pray a blessing on them. If you do that and you bring that back, I'm going to tell you what will happen with this church body. We will so be activated. We will begin to get signs and wonders confirming. There will be such an excitement that will break forth. Now, we should already be getting these things because you've already been told for 28 years. Maybe Ruthie's the only one that goes back 28 years, but Chap, you're pretty close, and Jackie, that you're ministers. And most, I told my wife this week, and I'll share this in closing, this week I got hit up by 3 prophetic voices. The first one was a nephew that lives in Dallas, Texas. He texts me and says, Uncle Weldon, I think this is you. And it was a sight. And all was a sight, making disciples. So some of you viewed a little bit, I think, in Pastor Mike's cell group and so forth. So I said, Pastor Mike, I really think this is showing us where we need to be. Would you view this in your office? So we went in, he come back, we're all excited, super excited. So the second time, I had a cell group, and a gentleman from that doesn't go here says, I got a prophetic word that I got in church last week, and he gave it to me. Now, I'm not going to go in great detail, but the essence of it is you've been steady, and you've been running this rate, and those doors are about to be opened wide. And he said, there's three of them. And to me, it was the Lord just confirming three times, you're at this place, look out. Doors are going to explode wide. You know what that said? The body of Christ is going to activate themselves and become the church, and are going to make a difference in their neighborhoods and in their friendships and their play areas. Amen. And then the third was a youngster that I knew when he was a baby that grew up with his family, was here years ago. And he happens to be married and lives in Owosso. And he says, I got close to the church. My gosh, I had to come here. He comes in and he lays out this heartbeat that just, again, confirmed where we're at. And he even remembered this old, we had an old visionary board that showed, you know, possibly where we were going. And it confirmed, and I'm saying that because God is about to birth something major, I believe, in your lives. And we get to be hold and watch this happen.
Amen.
So I'm going to challenge you, please, take it seriously and activate your washer this week. Activate that card. Activate so you can begin to flow in the things of God. And I'm going to tell you, when people say, whoa, I want that boldness, you already got it, but you've got boldness in your mind. Not God gave you boldness, which means he's inside you. It's not bulldozing anybody over. I've never been effective on trying to bulldoze anybody over and let them know how, or really pray in long prayers. Now, you may know how to pray long, but I'm going to encourage you not to pray long. I'm going to say if someone needs a healing, in Jesus' name. That's all you need, because you're not the healer. He is. And they're not getting healed because you quote a lot of scripture, getting healed because Jesus set up the timing. You ran across, and you are willing to activate yourself and set somebody free. Can you hook up with me? Can you see yourself doing that?
Amen.
And if you can, are you willing to yield and ask Holy Ghost, help set this up? Amen? And I challenge all of you that are watching on Facebook too. There's no distance in the spirit realm, and I challenge you to do your homework. And I may not be there to see if you've done it, but you will be. And I will promise you, if you will do this, you will be blessed. You will be blessed. You will be blessed. And you will be a discipler. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Now you understand why I had everybody that wanted a healing stand to your feet, and I had believers around them. Because you've got to see yourself having the same. Too long we've religionized. Get to the front because the pastors are really anointing. And let them lay hands on you when all along you've been anointed and you didn't even realize it. Here you better realize it, but you got to activate it. You got to step out. Stretch yourself. Activate those muscles that need to get stronger. And don't make it complicated. Pray short. Give eye contact. Give smiles. Let people know that you care. Because we all need words of affirmation. Amen? We're in agreement. Father, we leave this building. We thank you for the mission, Phil, that starts as we go through those doors. I am thanking you for every one of my brothers and sisters that are not only in this facility but are viewing through Facebook, that they are seeing themselves as mighty men and women of God. They see themselves as disciples. I call them activated because you've done it, Lord, and you provided all things. And I thank you for the testimonies that are going to flood into their lives as they begin to be doers of the word and not hearers. And all of us in agreement said, amen. Love on the ministers that are here. Let them know you appreciate that they're here. If you need special prayer of any sort, look to your neighbors. They're well able.